You know, the title of this message is Down in the Valley, because Isaiah talks about the Valley of Vision, and we are going to look about several different things about what Isaiah said in chapter 22. And this is a reference that was released in Dallas, and it is important for us. So I want us to get an understanding of what is transpiring among us, because we are going to be called on to do some amazing, more than amazing, some miraculous things. And amazing has to do with what man can accomplish. Miraculous is what God's doing through us. And we stand amazed. And that's an old hymn. But yeah, as I was made this title, I thought about that folk song, Down the Valley. Anybody ever heard that? Remember it? That's the one. Low, hang your head over and listen to the wind blow. Yeah. And it's listen. Or hear the wind blow. Listen, hear the wind blow. Yeah, it's hear the wind blow. As I was humming that to myself, I said, I wonder what the rest of that song is all about, because that's all I remember. And it's kind of a love song. But and people have attached spiritual meanings to all this, but basically it's about overcoming tough times and going forward in love. And I thought, well, you know, that's what this valley is all about, this valley of vision. Because God created each of us for a certain purpose, to partner with Him in a certain way. And it's going to align itself with God's eternal plan. And it's going to partner up and be in harmony with the supernatural forces of heaven and the angelic host. We are going to be on God's side when as he brings his heavenly host to bear on the strongholds of the enemy. We are going to be the front lines, and the angelic is going to be backing us up. So, you know, I kind of feel like that cartoon Little Bear, you know, where he raises up and you know, behind him is Big Papa Bear going, and everything in front of him goes, and anyway, you know, so when we appear in the authority of the Lord, we have the backing of heaven. There is terror that goes in the heart of the enemy. And this was demonstrated several times for Israel. As God said, the battle's mine. You guys just sit here and watch. And God created terror in the hearts of the enemy to where they were killing themselves. I mean, they turned on themselves because of this terror of who God is and was for them in front of them. And so this is the power that we move forward in. This is the power that we come to this valley of vision of the Father. This is the foundation for how we are able to die daily in our own ambitions and our own desires, and present our empty hands to the Father and say, I want what you want. I want to fill my hands with what's in your hands so that something new can come. And what's in God's hands is nothing. But when we join our hands together, He is using us in mighty ways. And so we thank God daily for His passion that has placed us in this time and in this season with exactly what we need to be successful over the enemy, and that the kingdom will advance. And so we are a part of the eternal work of God. We are participating with Him. He has called us to be those people that will move forward against the enemy. And so it is overwhelming to me when I think of all the history, beginning with Adam and coming forward through Noah, Abraham, and all the patriarchs, and through David, and through the coming of Jesus and His work, and the apostles, and everything that has come to this point with the people who have given their lives to translate the scriptures, to to form the canon of scriptures, to research and understand and save the scriptures for the generations to come, and that we have these tools for us to dig into the scriptures and to understand the words that were used and why they were used. And we are guided by the Holy Spirit, who is using these to cause us to understand the heart of the Father, so that we can give ourselves and say, whatever you're doing, we want to be a part of it, and we have no fear because we have perfect love for what God is and who God is and what He is about to do. So all this has culminated in this very moment right now. All this work, all this preparation is right now manifesting in your identity as we stand before the throne of God, before the throne of grace, ready to say, Father, I will move forward with you. My hand is empty. Let us join together and let's move the kingdom forward as you have designed from the very beginning. We have come to that point, and God is moving exponentially through the saints because we are seeking after the heart of the Father. We are intent on knowing what He wants done. And so when I think of all the things in my life that have formed me into the person I am today, that is someone who is able to understand and function in the giftings and the intercession that truly partners with the Father in with eternal value, I'm just so blessed. And God is aware of who I am. I'm not one of the masses. I'm not a number. I'm not a part of the sand of the sea that is just in a clump. I am an individual that He recognizes and that He has plans for. You are an individual that God recognizes and has plans for and has been grooming to come to this very, very moment. And in this very, very moment, we have decisions to make. We are in a valley of vision to see what God's doing in us and through us, and we have to decide, am I going to go with Him or am I going to go with my own things? My thoughts and my ways are so successful. Yeah, I'd be foolish to trust God, right? I mean, who can see God? Who knows God? So, you know, we are choosing daily, moment by moment, from what God has given to us. And He has brought us forward to this point in time. And so when I looked at this passage that was shared from Dallas in Isaiah 22, I'm seeing the way God moved in those days. I'm seeing the way God spoke through Isaiah to His people and to those that were in authority. And as God moved then, He's moving right now. He is wanting to communicate with us in the same way on a very personal level. We don't have to look for Isaiahs to come and deliver us the word of God. Which way should we go? What's going on? Are we going to win this battle? Should we go now or should we wait? No, he is directly communicating with us. Jesus said, I am leaving and you no longer have to go through anything else, but you have a direct communication with the Father. That is a promise. That has been cultivated and brought to the forefront, and it's right now before us. This is where you are in relationship with the Father. So we have to be faithful in partnering with God in restoring whatever part of His plan has been hindered or perverted. This is our task. So as we look at Isaiah 22, we're going to see the way God moves with His people, and we're going to see how it is that we are to look for Him to be moving with us. Right now, this moment, this day, this hour. And so we're seeing this prophetic word from God. It's coming through Isaiah. Was given during the reign of King Hezekiah, who was a good king, by the way. And interesting enough, his dad was a bad king. Ahaz was awful. And how Hezekiah came out of that relationship as a son can only be God. But this prophetic word came 10 years before there was a great invasion against Jerusalem where Hezekiah was ruling. And Hezekiah, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And so when this prophetic word came to pass, the Lord was able to hear his prayer. Because Hezekiah knew that the only way he was going to overcome was through what God wanted to do. You know, we have to understand that the only way we're going to overcome is to be in the place where God is doing something that we're partnering with. And so Hezekiah was partnering with God. He was doing everything that was commanded by God. He took down all the idols. He took down all the groves. And he was sacrificing. He was praying. And so because of his relationship that he had established, when he said, "Lord, what am I going to do?" God heard his prayer. Now, it wasn't that God didn't hear anything else, but this heard is about God was going to partner with him. So this prophetic word given by Isaiah was about the opportunity of the people and King Hezekiah that they had at that moment to be in agreement with what the Lord was wanting to do, and yet the people didn't desire to be a part of that. So Isaiah observed that they didn't even want to hear what God was saying about the troubled times that were just ahead. And we talked about this morning, is that joy is not when everything's going smoothly. Joy is knowing that God's in control and that whatever's going around us is going to be successful in God's timing, in his ways. However that transpires in us. So we can't look at anything that happens to us and say, "Oh, that's our misfortune," or "That was a bad thing." We need to be thankful for what was accomplished in that thing that happened. You know, Lord, this took the wind out of my sails, but I'm thankful that I'm in a doldrum right now because this enables me to be redirected. So Isaiah observed these things that were going on in the kingdom of God's people in Jerusalem. And so in Isaiah 22, beginning with verse 4 and reading 5 as well, he says, "Therefore said I, look away from me, I will weep bitterly, labor not to confront me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people, for it is a day of trouble and of treading down, and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts, in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls, and of crying to the mountains." Now, there's three designations of God right here. They speak to the framework of how God is wanting to relate to us. As Lord, he is Adonai, which we sang about this morning. And it's Adonai speaks of the way he has created each of us with a specific identity and a specific calling that he wants to partner with us in. When we enter into that specific calling, God is able then to move forward in that eternal plan. He's waiting for us to recognize that this is true. This is Adonai. This is the Lord. He comes to us as God. He is Yahweh, which speaks of his eternal plan that never fails. And as the Lord of hosts, he is, this is the word Sabah, which speaks of how God mobilizes his armies of angels to partner with us, his people, to do a work that has to be done through him. And this is what the valley of vision is all about. God is calling us into this valley. And it is interesting to note that in the New Testament, the hand is seen as the valley. It also refers to the foot. It is that place of activity that is able to grasp the hand of the Father for the creative work in a new fashion that has not been done before. And so when we present the valley of our hand to the Father, when we walk in the valley of our feet to take dominion, we are functioning in the new thing that God is doing at that moment that He has prepared us for from the foundation of the world. When we say from the foundation of the world, we're talking about the history of everything that is now right, comes to this point right now. We know that in our world, there are many things going on all at the same time, simultaneously. We hear reports and it's things that have been going on behind the scenes, and all of a sudden, bang, it's known. It's done. And it's saying, okay, this is what happened. And you know that just wasn't a serendipitous, oh, look what we got here. This was something that was planned and was thought out and was prepared for until finally the report says it happened. You know, it's the same with us. God is behind the scenes, building us, causing us to understand, causing us to develop our hunger for Him and the Word, till that point where now it suddenly is being fulfilled. God mobilizes His armies of angels with us as His people. And this is what the valley is. God is calling us into this valley. And we want to say yes. We want to be ready to move. And so this will always be about us following the vision of the Lord. About that halal vision, to look ahead and to see what is before us. It is about developing our belief. We can't go forward without belief. We can't go forward without that communication from the right hand to say, that's for me and I'm going to follow it. It's the burden of the valley. It is a point where we have to believe for what is promised, as Abraham did. He took what wasn't and functioned in a lifestyle that was as though it were. His life was to be that father of all those of faith. And so it is something we have to carry. It is something that is who we have become, those who will carry this burden. And so we are dedicating ourselves to do whatever is necessary to accomplish something that will require probably more than we've realized we're capable of doing. And so this means that we really have to be committed wholly to what God is doing in the fullness of agape, in the fullness of all that agape is, our passion. The focus of our agape is going to cost us all we are. We can't give a little bit. We can't divide our attention. And that means that our focus is truly how God is working through the things we see. The cost of this partnership is what Isaiah is talking about in verse 23. So as we look down to verse 23, it says, "And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house." So, you know, we have looked at this sure place before, and it's something that we need to keep remembering, that this is sure place. This nail is the Amen, and it's from the right hand of God. We are in that sure place at the right hand of God. This is about what God is telling us as a creative partner. God is going to be sharing with us. He's going to be directing us in the new things, in the creative things. And so we are going to be in this place of knowing that God is doing something and that we are a part of that and we are going to be successful. And it's a nail, it's an assurance that we can hang on to. This is a place where we are anchored. This is a place that keeps us focused. This is a place that keeps us from being overwhelmed by probability, by fear, by doubt, by what we see in the natural. And so in this is the key of David. Because the key of David speaks about the authority that we are able to open and shut. This is what Peter was given by Jesus. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. What you do will be done, and what you don't do won't be done, basically. And so this is us. What we do will be done according to the Lord. What we don't do will be according to the Lord. We have that authority, and so we have to function in this relationship of the Aman. Being the year of grace, we are about using this key of David. This is about us obeying his directives. It's about us meeting all the appointments that are ready to be opened. And it's about closing off those things that don't need to be dealt with at this time. We will be demonstrating what it is to be walking with God in vision. All this is to prepare us to be the kind of prayer partners God is now looking for to represent what is going on in the valley of vision. Verse 12 speaks of a partnership that lines up with the fourfold progression of the throne of grace with voices, thunders, lightnings, and earthquakes. And I have those kind of listed out there for you. So we're looking at the 12th verse there in Isaiah. And it says, in that day, the Lord God of hosts called to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And we have been called to this kind of partnership that has to include these four things. And I'm with Pastor Ron on this. This being called to baldness is kind of a strange thing. And some of us are probably getting there quicker than others. But let's look at these. The first one is weeping. This word is baka, and a whole study has been done on baka, and we've seen this. This is where there is an embracing of the purpose of God. This lines up with voices. This weeping is not with tears of mourning, but is with a focus on what is to come. It is that embracing. It is that anticipation. It is that readiness to move forward that really is coming from the center of who we are. It involves all that we are, our full identity. It's not something that we are sitting there going, you know, that would be fun to do. Or that might be interesting to get involved with. It's that inward passion that says, I can't be anything else. This is what weeping is. This is the voice that comes from us. The voice that has called us forward. Then there's the, you know, there might be tears involved in this, but it is an expression that comes from our desire. It comes from our hunger for what God wants to have done. The second thing is mourning. And this is not really about being sad, but it's more of an indication that something is now over and now you're ready to enter into the new thing. It's being caught up as contrite dust into the place of thunder. Um, Mourning is interesting because there's a side of that that can lead to bitterness. If you're not moving forward in grace, then you're going to be moving backwards into mourning, into bitterness. And this mourning is linked to our identity before the throne of God. And this is where we surrender what has been done for the Lord so we can welcome and embrace the new thing that's coming. We are sweeping out the old leaven. And we're saying, new leaven, please. I'm ready to receive. I'm not going to stand here and think that I can do what I used to do. I'm standing here knowing that I can't do anything unless you provide. And I'm ready. My hand is open. And I'm ready to receive. So this is the principle Jesus taught about that he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, past victories will not stand in the present need. You know, when you call for an expert to come to your home and do something, nowadays we're able to Google their name and their company and look and see, and then look at the reviews. They have 1 star, 2 stars, 5 stars, they're good. They've had some really bad, good success. And we say, okay, they're safe to have come out and given charge over this situation, and they can work and give me success. But, you know, it's been proven over and over that just because they've been good at one point in their past doesn't mean they're going to do the right thing at your house. I mean, you can get a better prospect by someone who has better reviews than someone who says, this guy's terrible. Don't ever call him. They just skimp on things. They are not thorough. But, you know, if they get a report, well, he's thorough. He looks on things. You have to know that even though they've had success in the past, every situation is going to be new. And their success is going to be dependent on not how well they've done in the past, but on the fact that they understand what your need is. And this is our place before the Lord. He said, no matter how successful you've been in the past, it's time to be who I want you to be in this new thing. So there has to be this surrender. And we have been through this, but we have to continue to be through this. So we function not in what we know we can do, but we are to function in what we know God can do through those who are willing and give themselves freely to that. We have to be who God has created us to be. That's just pretty simple. That's what He needs. That's what He's prepared us to be. And that's what we want to be before Him. Our mourning has to be a point of our surrendering to Him. Our place is to serve in His kingdom and serve in the way that He has prepared you to serve. We can't look ahead at someone else's service and say, I want to be like that. We want to say, I want to be like what you want. And that's going to be totally different. And we can't be jealous of one another. We can't be wishing that we were somebody else or had their skill or their ability or had their position or their time. We are who we are, and we need to be who we are before the Lord as He created us to be. So whatever He has created us to be, we want to do it with all of our heart, soul, and mind. He goes on to say, I will have to be willing to accept what He shows me. I have to be willing to say, you know, whatever I think I am, whoever I think I am, I'm going to give that up. And so that means I'm not going to defend any kind of accusation or observation that someone might make. You know, you're this way, or you're that way, or you're not this, or you're not that. And I said, okay, I am who God has made me to be, and I will move forward in that. I'm not resigning myself to say, oh, I'm just who I am, and you have to accept me. I'm saying, I am who God has made me to be, and I'm going to move forward in that. Does that make sense? So this choice to go into the valley of vision is to start now. You know, this isn't, okay, this afternoon I'm going to, you know, have some devotional time and I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go into this valley. It's right now. It's our choice right now. I have to be, as Paul, willing to forget those things that are behind and pressing forward into the new. Now, this is the word forget. We've talked about this recently, but forgetting is the concept of relinquishing your control, giving up your control, taking your hand off of something and saying, okay, I'm done trying to steer this thing. Jesus, take the wheel. We want to move forward in this directive that God gives us from his place of thunder, his right hand, that secret place. And we can't glory or hold on to our past achievements and say, I've made it. I've done something worthwhile. I've done something that I want to be recognized for. And it's really about saying, I want to be recognized as someone who listens to the Father and will only do what Father says to do. Jesus said exactly that same thing. I mean, how many times did he have the authority or the opportunity to lift himself up and just be the king of the world? I mean, think about, you know, what could have happened had he acquiesced to Satan's temptation. I mean, it had been a terrible tragedy, but that was his to do, and he chose to deny Satan, to deny that temptation. He forgot. He was forgetting anything else that was his and only what the Father had commissioned him to do. Third thing is this baldness. Now, Pastor Ron saw this as an obvious reference to the Nazarite vow. And I'm going, oh, that makes sense now, doesn't it? Yeah. The Nazarite vow began with a season of letting their hair grow. It was there's only a couple like, you know, John the Baptist who lived the lifestyle, but mostly it was just a time, okay, this is the time that I'm going to focus on this and I'm not going to shave my head. It was that vow to accomplish something. And the locks, the hair, was to be a symbol of that time of focus. And so when the task was finished, when the time was up, then the head would be shaved. And the hair was offered as a sacrifice to testify that it had been done. It was finished. And so this baldness came at the end of the commitment when it was done. And so this aligns with lightning. The lightning of the Lord as we are sent out on assignment. I'm not suggesting that we ought to grow our hair and then shave our head when it's done. But it is that going forward with the commissioning that God has asked us to do and to focus on that until it's done. We want to, as it were, let the things that normally take our attention go for a minute, and let's get focused on something that is right there before us. And so we go as arrows out of the Lord's quiver. We go as lightning and we strike and we cause that place to be transformed as God has ordained it to be. And then the fourth thing is that we gird up with sackcloth. And we've taught about sackcloth. We have dressed in sackcloth. We have been in sackcloth for different things. But it declares our passion for light to come wherever darkness has been. And this is something we have to continually be passionate about so that God's purpose can be manifested, so that what he wants will come to light. And that light will uncover things that need to be dealt with. That light will send away darkness. And so we are those who are going to bring this shaking of the earth, the earthquake. And when we go forth this way, We are turning the world upside down. This is what the Pharisees declared that the apostles were doing. These guys are turning everything upside down. Well, the reality was they were making it go right side up. Everything else was already upside down. And so we're going to be shaking the kingdom of the earth, kingdom of the enemy. His strongholds are going to be falling. So we are here basically at this valley of vision. Daily, moment by moment, we have to decide how we're going through. It is, we have the promise and we have the fulfillment, and we are in the valley of decision. And in this valley of vision, there's going to be fighting. There's going to be battles. There's going to be things that we have to decide how we're going to do it by the wisdom that God gives us. We have to choose how He directs us. And we are really wanting to look forward to going through the valley because we're going to see things happen there. I mean, it's wonderful to have the promise. It's wonderful to know the delivery is going to happen. But it's so neat to know that we're going to bring up, they're going to be a part of it. That what we do is going to bring about the fulfillment. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Rejoice and be glad. You know? And we're going forward no matter what, with our hand in the Father's hand. You know, I think about that. I think, you know, that's the way I crossed the street when I was little. I put my hand in my dad's hand and we went forward across the street. I remember thinking a couple of times, hey, I'm old. I can do this by myself. And I got about, you know, a foot from the curb and all of a sudden, oh, hi, Dad. You know, and it was more like, yeah, okay. And, you know, about that time, a car go by. And I was so thankful that hand had grabbed me. Of course, you know, it wasn't a surprise to Dad that I was moving. He was there all along. He was ready to grab my hand. God is ready to grab our hand. We have to have His hand to move forward, because if we move forward on our own, we're going to get creamed. Right. We're going to end up in the front bumper of a Mercedes or something. And that's not a good idea. But as our concern deepens about what God has created us to be, our passion to serve Him is going to grow. Our obedience is going to be more complete. And we're going to find ourselves really examining what's going on around us for the real heart of what God wants done through us, rather than just saying, this is weird, or oh, this is not nice, or we weren't expecting that. We are to go with that vision of the valley, knowing I'm going into this valley and there's going to be things that God's got prepared for me because I'm ready now. He's made me ready. And so when we stand before the throne of God in the judgment, we're going to give account for what we did in the valley, for what we were prepared to do and how we used that preparation. So this is nothing about what our lives look like in the natural. This is really about how we are emulating the way Jesus thought, how we are thinking of His thoughts, what we have done forth our lives that Jesus died for. He gave His life so that we could have this relationship with the Father, so that we could be truly functioning in this fourfold progression at the vision in the valley of vision. I just am so thankful that God knows more about me than I know about myself, and that His plan continues to evolve as I become skilled in something that he is showing me I need to be doing. And God is wanting us to not just walk in sonship, but to move in a skill of navigating rough terrain, to be able to step lively in places that others have fallen and not be scathed. We've talked about hinds feet before. Lord, give me hinds feet. And we've talked about the skill of the hind and able to make his sure footings because his rear legs will step exactly where his front legs used to stand. So if he has sure footing in his front legs, his back legs will hit that exact same spot, and he can go over all kinds of terrain and not stumble. And so, this is what God has prepared for us in the valley of vision, to know that we can walk through and get through those places and not stumble. We don't have to fear. We don't have to say, oh, I hope I'm all right. I hope. You know, we say, my hope is in the Lord's training, and I've received it. My hand has been opened. My feet are in harmony with his purpose and his creative measure, and he has given me creative things to do that will bring about an advancement of his kingdom. Amen. So, Father, I just so thank you. I'm so thankful for where you have brought us, not only individually, but as a house, as together, with other saints around the world. We all have moved together and are eating the same bread, drinking the same drink. We are in harmony that is only produced through you. And we are bringing this to the nations, and they are hungry for this. And it is so exciting to know that in this valley of vision that we are walking through, that we are trusting you for, that you will bring the increase. And so we are in joyful anticipation of what is to come, and how you are going to move us in ways that we've never thought we could. And so we just submit ourselves. We submit our open hands to you. We submit our feet to you, that we would function with our hands and walk with our feet in such a way that your kingdom would be expanded, your name would be glorified, and that we would truly bring the purpose that you have willed to be for the restoration of your creation and for the work that awaits us in eternity. Thank you, Father, for the backing of all heaven, for their presence, your angelic hosts that are with us in this. We thank you that we are in your provision right now. And we are going to say, we choose right now to walk with you. We say this all in the name of Jesus and the authority of the key of David. And we say, amen.